You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, thanks for clicking play. This is episode 270 of the IT and the D Show. This is the cannabis episode, and Dave's not here.
You ever listen to the show on weed?
But actually, Dave is here. Dave Breezebaugh is in the house from Cannabis Aid, talking about the future of cannabis in Michigan, Canada, and a conference that's coming up in the great state of Michigan. Should be a riveting conversation. Hey, do you want to be part of the future of blockchain? Kickstart your blockchain skills by learning from experts who have led and innovated. Network with peers and attend hands-on workshops at the Blockland Solutions Conference, December 1st through the 4th at Cleveland's Huntington Convention Center. Man, Cleveland's a blast. You guys should go.
I feel like we need to be there.
I want to go. Even if blockchain, I don't get it, but I'll figure it out. Learn more and register at blocklandcleveland.com/podcast. That's blocklandcleveland.com/podcast. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Let me leave with that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries.
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds! What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds!
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooch! Listen. Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
What is up? Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the one and only IT in the D show. We've made it all the way up to episode 270, recording here in Studio One.
Well, let's do math. No math. Bob is wrong plus 254.
Fine. We're hanging out Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That was Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG's in Seattle. Randy, I do the Twitters, is in studio tonight. Find us online. Find us online. IT in the D. Do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so before we dive in, today's episode is sponsored by Lenovo for Business. Like anyone in IT knows, your job isn't easy. From managing users and use cases to testing out new products, software, hardware, and more, there's no end to optimizing your office, but you didn't choose this field because it was easy. You chose IT because you make smart, smarter, fast, faster, and good, great. Because you solve problems, you troubleshoot, and you never take no for an answer. You do what you do to make a difference. And while you're making a difference, Lenovo wants to help make a difference for you by providing innovative technology, services, and support solutions. Take Lenovo's new ThinkPad P1, the ultimate mobile workstation, or services like Lenovo's DAS or SAS programs. With their flexible financial options, a suite of data center solutions, premier support, and customized business shopping, there's no end to what you can accomplish. Because when it comes to IT, Lenovo is dedicated to offering solutions that make a difference for you and your company. To learn more about how Lenovo can make a difference for you, visit www.lenovo.com/SMB. That's www.lenovo.com/SMB. Lenovo, making a difference for those making a difference.
So speaking of the chime, I went and saw Halloween yesterday, and
how'd that work out for you?
You know, it was written by Kenny Powers, and I forgot. And because all of a sudden I'm looking at the credits in the beginning, John Carpenter with all the usual suspects,
right?
And here it says written by Danny McBride, and I'm like, holy shit!
I had no idea that Kenny was Powers. A thing.
Right. So the whole entire time, you know, being a Eastbound and Down fan, Vice Principals fan, I listened. And he got to squeeze in about 2 one-liners in a 2-hour movie. And you knew it was him.
I am Michael Myers, Le Flamme Blanca.
Right. Well worth it. They did it justice. It was, you know, nothing over the top, and it was nothing underwhelming. It was just kind of like a good Halloween movie. Yeah, I recommend. Yeah, it's one of those, you know, it was good.
Is it a sequel? Is it a
continuation?
Reboot?
It's 40 years later. Michael Myers is in the
In a wheelchair?
No, he's standing in the
middle of a walker.
No, he's just standing. Oh. In a psych hospital.
I heard they ignored some of the previous movies.
Oh yeah, well they did.
As they should.
Yeah, there wasn't a Silver Shamrock did not make an appearance in this Halloween
movie.
We
all pretend Halloween 3 just never happened.
I couldn't even tell you what happened in that. Halloween in space, all of those.
Yeah, Michael, none of that happened.
Jason didn't come out at the end, and you know.
No, not none of it.
It's like it was 40 years later, and Jamie Lee Curtis is a grandma, and it's kind of like it's kind of like Terminator 2. Like Halloween Terminator 2.
No, that was Terminator 3.
No.
We all pretend Terminator 3 never happened.
No. When she was like stuck in the psych ward and like training to like if he comes back.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's kind of like that without the montage sequence. And
was there any Rick Astley?
No, there was no training. No
montage.
No two princes when she put on the winter hat. Like South Park reference. Sorry.
Plenty of activity to keep her regular though.
Yeah, she did. I was like, hey, kids, that's a lady that's got diarrhea and has to have yogurt.
Activia.
Oh, wow.
So I know we don't really do politics on this show, but I'm sorry. This made me laugh so hard. A new app launched for Donald Daters. .com is the app that went live for people who approve of our president to date other people who approve of our president.
Was it?
And I'm sorry, that's not the funny part. The funny part is that the app had a data breach after one day.
See, now I thought it was set up as a troll.
No.
Like, we're going to expose all the people on this, and, you know, it's like a 4chan thing, and
maybe.
We're going to, you know. Because, like, everybody's shit got exposed, like their messenger
day
chats.
One.
Right. Like, maybe if it was a troll, they would have waited maybe 30 days to get a good sample size.
Right. I feel like, yeah, day one's a little bit much.
But
yeah.
If you're rushing out day one, you kind of... to Donald Tears. You might deserve it.
You might deserve, yeah. Like everything that happens.
I can't find good Donald supporters on Match.com.
Well, I mean, apparently they didn't go to Farmers Only, which, as we all know, the unofficial motto is, we can't say white people only.
Right.
But you know.
wink. Wink. You know, one of the things that... I'm so sick of political correctness these days. Like it's almost like I long
PC principle, bro.
Right? No, I'm loving the memes that are out now. Like going, hey, remember when your fifth birthday and there was like a lit cigarette within like 2 feet and a beer can
that
within...
my grandfather had me hold along with his beer. Right. Yeah.
Well, DC gets their own share of blame, and I get it. Like they're, you know.
Or the comics?
DC Comics gets their own share of hate. This time, though, that you done screwed the pooch, DC.
Are we going to talk about the Batman penis?
Yes. No, 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 no. We're talking about our Mr. Robin, the boy wonder, Mr. Nightwing.
Oh, that's speaking of penis.
They're changing his name.
He's no longer Dick.
Dick to Rick.
He's Rick Grayson now.
Rick. You know.
Yeah, Nightwing is now Rick Grayson. Not And those who are Batman fans know... you know, Robin became Nightwing, and that became a thing, which is great. And they're continuing that story, but now his name is no longer Dick; it's Rick.
You know, coming from
and
a
no
family
K on the end either.
RIC.
He's Rick Flag. Woo!
Yeah. My father was a Richard. My cousin was a Richard. My dad went by Rich. His friends at work called him Dick, which sucked when they called. Let me talk to Dick, and I'd F you and hang up on him. Like, come on. Like, he never just said, okay, now call me Rick. It's just like any old man you know that's Dick, he's Dick.
He's Dick.
And it's fine. Yeah. Like, no one, there's no giggle. It's just like, there's Mr.
Hey,
Dick.
Dick.
Well, right. The story reason for it is he got shot in the head and has amnesia, so he doesn't really feel connected to his old identity.
That's a rationalization.
Well, then be
that's
Steve.
George. Whatever.
Right. Stupid DC.
Yeah, pick your name.
But you know, speaking of movies and speaking of Halloween movies, I hate when people tease that they're going to come out with movies that I know I want to see. And Mr. John Carpenter.
Please let this happen. Please!
They Live might see the light of day.
They Live 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo needs to happen.
But here's the thing again, only if it's a
legit
continuation.
Oh, it is. It's supposed, like the rumor, like the stories that went along with it, it's going to be a sequel. It's not a reboot. It's not a remake. It's not anything. And it's supposed to keep to the original themes. Because, I mean, like the part that a lot of people miss, which was amazing, is that, like, you know, They Live, the original, was basically social commentary on Reagan America and, you know, consumerism and all that shit and everything that goes along with it. So I would love to see his take on America today.
Yeah, consumerism sucks. But go to the movies and see my movie and pay for it. Right. Oh, yeah. Capitalism's awful. Buy my book.
But don't pirate my movie.
Buy my book. Yeah, right. God. Freaking love the crap. So, I want to talk about dumb people. Speaking of changing the name from Dick to Rick. You know, I never really took the people at Cracker Barrel for being the smartest people.
Well, and let's be honest, we're still angry at them because as middle-aged white men, we feel they should have to change their name from Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I'm no comment. but what happened was they had to pull a product off the shelf, which I don't even know why they sold in the first place.
It's a wooden pineapple.
A wooden pineapple with metal leaves on the top. And someone cut their hand.
It was more than one person that shredded their hands on the metal leaves on the wooden pineapple. Many that they had to recall and pull the product.
Warning people, you should stop using it. How do you use a decoration?
And what would you do with a wooden pineapple?
I mean, pineapple's a symbol of hospitality.
Like I'm not trying to judge, but okay, I am a little bit. Let's be real. My assumption about the stereotypical Cracker Barrel demographic, this story makes perfect sense.
But it goes, wouldn't they just put it right next to the live, laugh, love sign on the wall?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not going to – it's not like you play where they're going, let's play toss the pineapple, and they throw it back and forth on the couch. Like, you know, what the hell is he going to do with it?
Dude, I don't know. Like, just leave it on a friggin' nightstand and be done with it, or put it out in front of your door advertising you're a swinger. Whatever. I don't know.
I don't know. That's weird. You know what are weirder? The Sling commercials. They're creepy.
Sling?
Like, yeah, they're like the
Sling
couple.
TV?
Yeah, they're like, are you slingers?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stretching out his hamstring and like talking to other couples. Going,
I
like,
have not seen
we're
one of these
slingers.
Yet. I don't watch commercials.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, the man starts unbuttoning his shirt because he keeps hearing swingers instead of slingers.
Yeah, it's creepy. Like, she's stretching out his hamstring like on the dinner table, like with other people around. And like, oh, we get warmed up before we sling. Yeah, it's weird, dude. They're on YouTube, I'm sure, everywhere.
I'll go check them out. Yeah. That sounds bizarre.
Oh yeah, the woman's like got her legs crossed weird, and yeah, they're not good.
So I do want to give a shout out. I love this show. It has been friggin' phenomenal. If you're not watching Big Mouth on Netflix, please do. Like I want feedback. I want commentary. I want you to tell me how awesome this show is, because it is so good. And especially like you've got a daughter. It's all about like kids going through puberty and the there are creatures called hormone monsters, which are amazing. I crave feedback.
No, my daughter's new name is Napoleon Dynamite,
dude.
Because everything is. Gosh, I know. You know, I'm like, yeah, whatever, Napoleon. I don't even remember her name anymore. It's Napoleon. All right, Napoleon. Go feed Tina. Like that's. Like,
I do. I can't wait. We have it. We do. So there's an election day coming up, and so we'll be doing another kids episode, good, bad, or indifferent.
Oh boy,
we may or may not kill our children by the end of this one.
Oh boy,
because I feel like. Our daughters are both at about that age where we might kill them.
It was cute 5 years ago.
It was
Dad,
adorable.
Dad goes to work.
Yeah, now it's dad's an asshole. Dad's
like, you guys like, suck, and you don't know what memes are, and you're stupid. Old, and you're lame, and you suck.
Right. Buy me Doc Martens.
Right.
It went from, like, buy me a doll to buy me Doc Martens. What's your thoughts on – see, now Uber's trying to be the Uber of everything, which is kind of cute because everybody's trying
Uber,
to be the Uber of them.
But for X.
Right.
Now it's just Uber trying to be all the
Uber's
things.
Uber's not fine just like dominating the auto industry, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But now they're kind of developing a on-demand staffing business.
Which, I'll be honest, I don't see – like even having read through the article, I don't see how that's really going to work for them.
Well, here's
like – we know finding qualified people – takes time.
Well,
like
cars, the difference is cars are ubiquitous. A car is a car is a car.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to
Toyota RAV4.
On-demand podcast engineer?
Right.
Like, I mean, can I?
well, like if you say job Ready developer.
Saturday's just freed up everybody.
Right. But if you say like, okay, I want a Java developer or a carpenter.
Well, dude, I need a, you know.
A handyman.
Yeah.
There's different levels.
A spring framework, you know, Apple developer, da-da-da. Yeah.
Do
and like, I need one in 10 minutes.
Do people set
How's that going to work?
No, do people set their own rates? Like, I'm a plumber, it's 80 an hour. And like, okay, then if I need a plumber, like, where are you? Like, there's not going to be like, and the problem is we're spoiled with Uber because there's four cars around our house at all times. There's not going to be four plumbers.
I mean, not your house.
No, I have two or three. No, they all sit in Birmingham. It takes like 10 minutes to get an Uber. It's not a big deal.
Do we have to tell the lost your shoe in the mud story and all the cheese?
No.
Do we have to tell the story again?
Fine. No. Because Uber wouldn't come pick me up to drive me a quarter mile. So I walked home day before Thanksgiving, and there's construction in my neighborhood, and I had my dress shoes on, and the shoe got stuck, and I lost my shoe in the mud, and I had to go dig it out. And I fell face first in the mud on my velvet sport coat. And then I was so drunk, I went and got cheese, and there's cheese wrappers all over the house.
Cheese singles.
And basically mud tracks going all the way up to bed. Yeah, and I got my ass chewed out 8 in the morning, the vacuum cleaner. Why is it vacuum on? Because you're an asshole. You walk into the house, your muddy shoes eating cheese.
So there are Ubers everywhere except by your house.
Right. Yeah. Well, now that was when Uber started. Now
it was a couple years ago, yeah.
Right. The one thing that creeps me out, though, is – we found they should make a movie about this instead of being Iceman. It should be like Ice Worms. Or like Encino Man.
You mock me every time I bring shit like this up, whether it's like the brain-eating amoebas.
These didn't eat brains.
Or any of that crap.
They just came back to life after being frozen.
Okay, but you don't do this. Like, so scientists like in Siberia, like dug down in the permafrost, and then like they were like, oh, look, there's these 40,000-year-old worms hanging out, or nematodes hanging out in the permafrost. Let's bring them back to life. And they did, because they were in suspended animation from being in the permafrost, and they brought them back. Nothing – have they never watched an episode of The X-Files? Like, what the hell is wrong with people?
Well, maybe they could ask them what's technology like now compared to when you were unfrozen.
Dude, 40,000 years, they had
it's like asking people in prison. What's the biggest change?
They weren't even like chipping flint together to make fire 40,000 years ago. They weren't.
Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't. Not 40,000 years ago.
A couple hundred thousand years ago, they were.
No, not for me.
Yeah, they were.
Dude, we're –
you watch Encino Man too many times. They knew how to do all that crap.
Yes, Brendan Fraser is the source of my historical knowledge.
I'm sure it is. Right.
No, I mean I don't like this. And they said, oh, it's going to have great advances for like what we want to do with missions to Mars and all that. I'm like – but like this is how you end life on our planet as we know it, by bringing back shit from the past that we don't have any defenses against.
What are they going to do with smallpox U.S.?
Yeah.
1400s.
Yeah.
What are they going to do sending worms to Mars? What is that going to – except for being Planet of the Worms. Like they're going to end up – it's going to be like Dune like on Mars.
The sandworms were friggin' awesome.
Right.
But
– no, what's the one with with the dad from Family Ties. They had like eight of them. It was like the stupid – in the Arizona desert.
And Tremors.
Tremors. Thank you. This is stupid. It's going to be like Tremors in Mars. These stupid worms are going to grow up and they go, there goes the planet.
No, they're allegedly, they're saying that like what they can learn from the worms, they can transfer to putting people in suspended animation. But like nematodes don't have brains like we do. They don't have like – fully developed.
You can cut them in half, and they still go.
And you cut them in half, and they become two things.
Right, and the poop out of the mouth, and the other way. Yeah,
yeah.
Who cares?
I got nothing.
I'm just glad it's not my job. I'm gonna cut this worm for 3 weeks and study its findings. The one thing that gets me. They said we have to ask permission, but everyone knows that they're going to make some stupid Candy Crush app, so it gives permission. But apparently, they're trying to get 500 million smartphones basically to be capable of reading atmospheric pressure. So now we turned into sensors for the effing weatherman.
But is that different from SETI at home?
Is it different than the real time traffic mapping? Like your phone's relaying all your how fast you're going back to Google so they can update the color on the map.
They know how you should leave for work now. It's 5 minutes faster. Like kiss my ass. Don't tell me what to do.
You're not the boss of me. No, but I mean like that I not a fan.
Don't they have like barometer stuff at like Channel 4 and like the back patio, like the one they always show when it's snowing? Like can't they just tell from that? Why do they need our smartphones? Chuck Gatica, you can't.
I wasn't aware my phone had a barometer in it.
I don't know what the.
Yeah, they've had them for a few years. It's one of the ways they can tell, like the exercise apps can tell if you're doing stairs or things like that.
It's got the little mercury thing in it. That's why that screen flips when you turn the phone.
Nice.
No, it doesn't?
No.
Oh. But like, so Wall Street Journal came out with it. We're speaking of Uber and all that stuff. And this is an interesting because there's an autonomous vehicle show coming up in Detroit Wednesday and Thursday. I'm going to go to Wednesday. But like basically the Wall Street Journal kind of broke down, hey, Detroit, like I got a question for you. Who's going to control the future of transportation here? Because, here's the thing. Once Uber makes their own car, I don't want to say game over, man. But it changes things.
But we've talked about this before. Like, are you going to get into a driverless cab?
I won't today, but in 5 years,
are you going to hop into the Johnny cab?
Not today, but like I said, in 5 years, it might be as normal as the pizza guy knocking on my front door. Who knows what? Think about 5 years ago, the crap that we didn't have that we're doing today,
right?
You know, Uber was even a glimmer in our eye. Right, you couldn't like that.
Remember the Lyft launch party we went to?
Oh my god, that was awful. Yeah. And then they didn't come to Detroit for like 3 years after the launch party. Like, that was the dumbest thing.
Pink mustaches everywhere.
Speaking of half of the Uber drivers I get these days, I'd rather have no one in the front seat, to be honest with you.
I use Uber less and less and less. Like, Uber is my second resort after Lyft at this point. It truly is.
Yeah, I haven't had Lyft or Uber even installed on my phone for like over a year now. I just use Lyft.
I've never gotten in a Lyft. It's one of those things.
They don't do the pink mustache.
I'm using the absolute shit out of DoorDash, though. That is the greatest. They get to my – like, dude, they've like full dinner getting to my house in like 20 minutes. I don't have to put on my shoes. I have my kid answer the door, and I get delicious P.F. Chang's in like 20 minutes. It's the best.
It's kind of the best.
The interesting thing about your Wall Street Journal article, though, was they changed the title of the article. The original title was, Can Detroit Become a Softer Business? And now it's, Will Tech Leave Detroit in the Dust?
Oh. And that's the thing. All these, you know, these big companies, all these autonomous projects, that's consumed their life. That is what everyone is. It's like, it's kind of like the race to go to Mars first, not to be, use a bad pun, but they're all trying to see who could do it first. And they're all like, who's got experience doing it? And we're like, well, no one, you know, and like the IT companies.
Hey, we just won this bid. We should hire people that know what we're doing.
Right. Right.
but no, so Bob, you're one of your favorite companies on the planet, as I know, or actually two of them, Bird.
Is Funyuns a company?
Bird and Lime.
I was going to guess Perry Funeral Home.
Nope.
don't bring that up.
Bastards. Bird and Lime are both being sued for gross negligence for just dropping all these scooters off everywhere with no safety precautions, no measures, and just a blatant disregard for public safety.
Well, can you – it's maybe it's an idiot problem for racing them on the street, jumping curbs, and like trying to dodge traffic. Maybe that one's on you. Like, I even understood I'm going to drive it on Peterborough. I'm not going to drive it on Cass.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not – I'm going to turn that thing around before it gets to a main road. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah. But this is America. We don't take responsibility for our own actions.
So you're suing them, and what do they want?
Money.
No, because they're gonna end up getting a disclaimer going, we're not responsible for.
You must be this tall to ride this ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is. It is what it is.
Stupid. Just get on your stupid bird or don't. Or don't. Like, honest to God, though, I've almost, like in Denver, I swear I got hit by like six of them. Like, they were not. People, like, they don't care.
It's a thing. So, and I feel like this is a good segue leading into the our next segment. Canada's out of weed.
Like out?
So Canada legalized weed, and literally later that day, all of the official dispensaries were out of weed. They had to call the police. They had to bring in the Canadian equivalent of the National Guard to like manage traffic around all the dispensaries. It was ridiculous.
Was it like Black Friday when there was like $10 off a flat screen?
It totally
they
was.
They all came unglued. Yes. Oh my God, we got to get pot.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly what happened.
Right. Toasters are free at free toast at Denny's. We have to go.
Things you never want free. Yes, that's
dollar yeah. Subway at Jimmy John's.
Except this time it was weed. And apparently everybody wanted weed. Canada was very happy about the legalization of weed, and that became a thing very quickly.
Oh my God. But hey, you know,
so
what,
hey, remember to vote November 6th.
Yeah, exactly. For a lot of things. Right. Hey, the right hire can make a huge impact on your business. That's why it's so important to find the right person. But where do you find them? Instead of posting on job boards, find the person who will help you grow your business with LinkedIn.
I feel like we've talked about this before. Like, I feel like we may or may not have had several posts on our website about screw a lot of other places on the planet. Go to LinkedIn.
Just eliminate the –
Well, number one, go to our events. Number two, go to LinkedIn.
Now, if you haven't figured this out, it's the world's largest professional network. Please go to LinkedIn every day to grow professionally and discover – oh, it's PeopleGo – and discover job opportunities. 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on who they really are, their skills, interests, and even how open they are to new opportunities. This way, your job gets seen by more of the right people. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities, so you can only reach them on LinkedIn. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn.
Yike.
No kidding, right? I mean, to be honest with you, that's where I've pretty much found every job I've ever had.
No, it's real.
For the last 10 years. Do us a favor. Go to LinkedIn.com/ITinTheD and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/ITinTheD and get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply, and thanks for the support.
Sweet.
Speaking of support, we're going to be back in a minute with David Breezeboy talking about cannabis and properties of cannabis.
The show on weed.
This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 270 of the IT in the D show. Broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in Seattle. Randy, I do the Twitters, is in studio. Find us online.
Walker.
Yeah, questioned why. He's the only one that I use the last name with, so now.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. It was just curious.
Yeah. Find us online, itinthed.com. You know why? Because we are IT in the D.
And you skeevy little bastards, you're still not. And we know you're out there. You're listening. And we know we're giving you an aneurysm saying this. And we love every moment of it.
Muy, muy. Kisses. If you want, by the way, find out, sign up on our, go to the Meet tab on our site. That's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T, and figure out where we are at any given month. Now, I can't even keep track anymore. It's just whatever.
Yeah, neither can I.
As long as it's on my calendar, I go. I don't even know why I'm going anymore.
Just I show up where I'm told to show up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. So even if you're a stock market newcomer, you can invest for the first time with true confidence. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, which means you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. And with a clear design and easy-to-understand charts and market data, Robinhood lets you place a trade on your smartphone in just 4 taps. Or if you're on the web, you can view stock collections like the 100 most popular, as well as sectors like entertainment, social media, and even more curated categories like female CEOs. Plus, you can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with a personalized newsfeed and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Seems like kind of a cool thing.
Indeed.
Might as well give it a shot. Robinhood is giving listeners of our show a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio.
What?
Sign up at itinthed.robinhood.com. That's IT in the D, all smushed together, .robinhood.com. Feel like I'm going to try that out.
I want a free Apple stock.
I want a free stock. Yay.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
We'll report back next week.
Right. But hey, we have like he hasn't said a word. He's got the best radio voice we've had probably in the history of the studio. I swear I thought it was Pharrell if you listen to Sports Talk Radio. But we got David Breezeboy in the house. He's from Cannabis Aid. What's going on?
Well, hey, guys. Thanks again for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
I totally thought you were fake. It sounds like it's almost like a Muppet. Like you should be doing like so many different – instead of being like a pot guy, you should be like
– He should be the hormone monster on Big Mouth.
I don't know what that is.
Me either, but I like the sound of it. Yeah. Where do we go from there?
Right. Yeah. So how do you get into, I guess, the pot? You know, obviously we've seen it kind of the medical marijuana stage. We've, you know, kind of want to get into, you know, what this industry is looking like. But how do you get into, or how did you just say like one day wake up and go, you know what? I'm getting into the pot business.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you know, no pun intended, it's a growing industry, and it's the next big thing here for Michigan and arguably for our country in general. So, you know, I really have to give credit to Thomas Tong, my partner and everything, and a dear friend for so long. But is the genesis behind, you know, the event we're having at the end of the month has convinced me, rightfully so, that this is the sector to be involved in. You know, especially in Michigan, the way things are coming together. So if we were going to stay here in Michigan, this was the thing to do.
Well, I just got back from Colorado And the amazing thing was, you know, how lax it was. It was, you would walk down the street and you would basically smell that smell, you know.
Ooh, yeah. That smell.
Exactly. Everywhere you went. We would go to state parks on the weekend and it's like, oh my God, Mary Jane. Like, where did that come from? But it just seems like it just permeated everywhere in that state. But when you look around, everything's clean. All the streets are nice. Everything's good. You know what I mean? There really wasn't any bad that I could see at all.
Well, you know, and that's the point, right? Have you been to a MedMen store? I mean, they look like an Apple store, honestly. This is a dispensary. This is a marijuana retailer. And, yeah, the state of Colorado has a number of years on us in development of the market. But Michigan is right behind them. You know, we are a lot of people don't know it.
Like, yet. That was one of the, like, things I don't know that I knew that. In fact, I know I didn't know this. Like, Michigan is number two.
The second largest medical cannabis state market behind California. We're eighth in population, guys. You know what that means about the density? We have a high density of marijuana.
And you ask anyone on the street, there's no way anyone would guess that. We wouldn't even be in the top 10 if you ask anyone on the street.
You know, that number comes from Roy Bingham at BDS Analytics, and they're a data company and a sponsor for our event. They have been doing great work in quantifying the market and taking it from bro science, is where it's been,
right,
into real scalable industry. And, you know, that's the point that Michigan is at right now. We have this massive, massive market, but just this year we're starting a full commercial framework to support it. And it's very exciting because the framework is business friendly. So for entrepreneurs and investors and other market entrants, you know, really the time is now to get involved.
So, you know, I have family up in Canada, and pretty much for the last 2 years, every time I go there, all they talk about is the property they're buying up to set up grow fields. Like, is that happening in Michigan or is that still illegal? So I know nothing about this. This is all brand new to me. Like, you can't just go and grow right now unless you have a medical license, right? And
well, so this commercial framework, it encompasses a number of different license types. You know, the first is cultivation.
Right.
And, you know, in Michigan, you can either be an A, B, or C class cultivator, C being the 1,500 plant cultivator. And in Michigan, you can stack your licenses. So some of the first cultivators issued licenses, VB Chesening has 6,000 plants.
Wow.
So you bet. They bought property in Chesening and applied for the licenses, and now they will be one of the largest cultivators in Michigan for the time being, you know, growing on property that they bought. So, yeah, absolutely. And speculatively, sure, people are picking up property. There are local opt-in communities in Michigan that are screaming out, I'm open for business, Inkster being one of them. Inkster's a great community, slightly depressed real estate market-wise, but their mayor has been very open, and their community is very welcoming to cannabis-related business, and they want everybody to know it. So,
you know, can't the feds like –
yeah, but how do you handle the challenge of, okay, so it's on the ballot November 6th for legalization in the state. Even if that passes, it's still – federally illegal. Yeah. Like, it's still a Schedule One drug.
Big challenges when it comes to banking and other things. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like one of the biggest things that I've heard about, like, Washington and Colorado is, okay, so great. It's legal statewide. Phenomenal. Now we have all this cash that we can't deposit in a bank because they're governed by FDIC rules and it's still federally illegal.
So now I got to put rain barrels and dig rain barrels in the ground.
So now I got to have storage lockers with cash in it.
Guys, real challenges.
Or a donut shop.
Yeah, 100%. Real challenges. Well, yeah. You know, how do I bank my money, right? This is a not federally legal enterprise, but by all measure, legal in every aspect of my operations. So, you know, what has happened is we've developed systems that are FinCEN compliant to handle this. And it boils down to manipulating the metadata of transactions in such a way where you can prove that everything's done, you know, legally by the book. Still a complicated matter. Hence the genesis of our event, you know, bringing together business, industry, and government.
Well, so let's dive into that. Yeah, so what is this event that's coming up?
So the first commercial cannabis conference and expo, October 30th and 31st at the Cobo Center, is
Halloween.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Exactly.
Halloween. You know, it's the last major event, the springboard into our recreational vote in November. And attempt really by, you know, our community as an industry to create some profound relationships early on in the development of the market. We feel that's really important right now. You know, we could take some cues from the other states, like you mentioned, Colorado, everywhere else that's had certain growing pains. And there are things that are going to happen. We know that intelligent people know this, people that have been tracking it and doing it in other states. And so this is our attempt to get in front of it and come together early in the development of the market to cause profound relationships when they matter most.
I mean, isn't one of the biggest issues finding out, I guess, like drunk you can blow into a thing and it'll tell you how drunk you are. It can't tell you how high you are.
There are challenges with measuring impairment.
Right. You bet. Is that like one of the biggest hurdles right now into doing this?
I wouldn't say one of the biggest hurdles. It's definitely a question. You know, for instance, one of our sponsors is Druid. It's an app to measure impairment, a cognitive function impairment, and we're going to have the creator of that app, Dr. Milbourn, do an hour-long discussion about it.
You can reach him at 1-800-DRUIDIA.
Yeah, it's a D-R-U-I-D.
Sorry. He doesn't look Jewish.
but who's to say? You know, the reports vary. Moreover than not, what I'm seeing is that states with legalized recreational adult use programs for marijuana have lower instances of accidents, you know, traffic impaired traffic related.
Right. Yeah. The worst thing happens is you're behind a guy on the highway that's going like 8 miles an hour.
Right. Looking for Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's annoying, but yeah, exactly right. Yeah, right.
But nothing bad's happening.
Yeah, get out of the fast lane, brother. Yeah.
Right.
Honestly.
The only thing I could honestly say, like the zombie level in downtown Denver was at an all-time high, like versus any city I've ever been to. Just people like walking down 16th Street, which is like their walkable street. Just you knew just, they were.
What do you think? Bob, a mile high?
Well, those jokes were like not even funny after like the first 30,000 of them.
I imagine so.
Right? Oh, their T-shirts everywhere. Like, oh my god, we get it.
Well, you're talking about adult use rec though, and really we are legal medical. And the commercial framework that we're putting in place to support the product cultivation, processing, and you know retailing of marijuana as a medicine is hugely important. You know, this is a medicine that a lot of people depend on, and you know we're taking a stand right now for a strong and a healthy commercial cannabis industry to support that, and patient outcomes are a big part of that. But as we keep our eye in November and the adult use rec vote, you know, we're looking towards the future like that as well. But, you know, even as it stands right now, what a tremendous opportunity to work in support of providing people with medicine they need.
Yeah. And is that one of the things that's been loose lately is like, you know, some people obviously need it. Cancer patients. Yes, I get it. But like, have they been a little loose? Like I got anxiety. Well, yeah, everybody's got anxiety.
There's always going to be people that find loopholes with whatever. And
Right.
Yeah. The surprising thing for me, you know, just coming into the sector about a year ago is that there are undeniable medical benefits. You know, has there been a lack of funding and research? Yes. So can we quantify that exactly? That's arguable. But undeniably, there is some relationship between this plant and our bodies that you know has evolved over all time.
Well, it's a natural herb that happens. And I mean, let's be real. Like we all know the whole reason why hemp became illegal in the first place was because of it was a threat to the cotton industry. And like part of the whole settlement of the Civil War and the textile mills and all that fun stuff was, okay, we'll give you cotton. We're going to make hemp illegal.
That industrial and social motivations. Yep. Yeah, for sure. You know, that it could be traced back the prohibition of the plant. But it's beyond just the one or two glaucoma patients or the terminally ill cancer patient. This is the medical benefits to this. I mean, in Michigan, there are more qualifying conditions now than ever before, ranging from much less than terminal illness, and there has been an undeniable benefit. So, giving people access to this medicine is crucial.
So what is the intent of this conference that's coming up, and what should people expect if they go to it.
So we're bringing together in the conference.
Because like I noticed that there's multiple tracks going on throughout the day. It's not just like a single track, hey, we're here. It's like a one-room thing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's like you've got a good set of discussions going on.
Yeah, over 50 leading experts from the industry. And, you know, really it's our attempt at causing profound relationships early on in the development of the market. But by bringing in experts from business, industry, and government, because we think it's so crucial at this time to have these conversations and really all to come together at this point in the development of Michigan's market that, you know, you're right. So we have sessions that relate to cultivation, you know, the business aspects of things, the industry, how to market, you know. Our curriculum generally focuses on what's it going to take to be successful in the commercial framework in Michigan. And it's a big question. You know, a lot of ancillary industries are – a lot of adjacent type businesses are built up to support this. I mean, you know, it's a high compliance industry. So we have everything from a pest control plan, security, you know, transportation. How do you ship it around? And all the software applications to support it, right? Seed to sale tracking. You know your customer, these things. So it's becoming a very complex system of opportunity, really, for Michigan.
See, now I guess the numbers got to be back from Colorado is what the economic impact that hit that state. It's in the billions of dollars. I mean, it's got to register. Wait,
at the tax revenue and everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of almost a no-brainer. Well,
all you got to say is it's kind of like when they passed the lotto in Michigan.
It's
for the kids. Yeah. Say it's for the roads or for the kids, and they'll pass it.
Right.
Well, but it is. So the medical market here in Michigan, roughly $630 million in 2017. And that's without – this is on a private system, a patient caregiver model.
Right.
We're transitioning from that to a full commercial framework, which is large cultivation facilities – processing centers, you'll see brands, and you'll see provisioning centers so people can get their medicine. But with the passing of adult use rec in November, vote yes on Prop 1, everybody.
How he calls it medicine, by the way. It's like what I call my whiskey.
Well,
give dad his medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Daddy's mean juice. Yeah, I've heard that one before. But guys, it's a $1.2 billion in annual sales in the first year. That's the estimate. And
wow,
literally across the board, every other state underestimated, you know, by a factor of about three from my knowledge.
Wait, again. Canada ran out of weed.
Did you see that meme? The Canada on that day, big cloud over Canada. Yeah, satellite image of Canada on the 17th of October, 2018.
Their new Thanksgiving. We're just going to move Thanksgiving to when they legalize pot.
You know, we've got a lot to look up to our northern neighbors on that one. You know, what a move, what a precedent setting move, and everybody's going to have to follow suit, I believe.
Yeah, and that if you look at it from not only that, it's not even just the smoke. Now you have the vape pens and the edibles, and it's the gummy bears. It's a thing. You can get that. You can basically put it into anything,
guys. The delivery mechanism, whatever it is, the method that you get it, as long as you can get it, that's the point. The challenge is making the medicine accessible. Stephen Goldner, one of the inventors of many pharmaceutical things. Is got a business in Inkster, and it's called Pure Green. They have a pill form. This guy, Stephen Goldner, invented methadone. You know, he's a serious player. You know, and was on the board of FDA.
Well,
and that
was always the problem with pot, wasn't it? It was the stink. I mean, it stinks, and it sits on your jacket for days.
That smell.
Yeah, but somebody like my mom, who's got a can't take for whatever reason or another. Some pain relievers that are over the counter.
Right.
And they want to give her just Norcos or something, right?
Right.
And then you get into that whole opioid thing. But instead of that, how about just a little CBD pill, a sublingual tablet?
Right.
You know,
well, did you look at the latest opioid stats? Like, they're basically, it's a 9/11 happening every month. Pretty much about 3,500 people are dying.
It's terrifying.
If people knew that it was a 9/11 every month, think about how this country would come together and just, like, are you kidding me?
It's very sad.
Right.
Yeah, it's very sad. And I get it. There's a time and a place for controlled use of those medications. But, you know, as it stands, there's definitely a problem.
Well, it's gotten to be literally an epidemic. Yeah,
literally. Yeah, no doubt.
And that's one of the things I always can't stand is I'm not a proponent of pot. I've never been. We talked about it offline. I don't smoke. I don't like it. It doesn't. But it does good for people. And you know, one of the things that God, I just totally lost my train of thought. Well, as soon as I started thinking about it, I'm like, Maui, wowie.
Yeah. No, it's understandable, right? I mean, there's a stigma attached to it. But guys, when we're talking about it just as medicine,
right,
despite all the arguments about what should be recreationally approved and hopefully will be this November, if everybody gets out and votes, then, you know, what is it as a medicine? And it's a way to avoid, you know, serious problems.
Well, that's what I was getting at, too.
We're past the what the hell was it? Shit, it's not ganja madness. It was the, you know, the
reefer madness.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're past those. Like, seriously, like, it's like weed. It's not. It's not a gateway to harder drugs.
Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, the misinformation that's being spread
to like snacking and arts and crafts. Like, it really is.
Well, the prohibition was also a prohibition on all of the studies and everything else that medicines
was, got.
Yeah. Right. And so what we're left with is, you know, bro science. Evolving.
Right.
You know, and so, and thankfully so, because here's Michigan and we're on the precipice of something great right now. And, you know, really that's what we're attempting to do and bringing everybody together.
No doubt. So, where do you get tickets?
Cannabis-aid.com. And everybody listening, if you use the code IT in the D, $100 off. Your ticket.
Nice.
I know, right?
Full conference and VIP passes, $100 off.
And it's a 2-day thing, right?
It is a 2-day conference. It's on Tuesday and Wednesday.
You know. There's an after party I want to be at. Yeah.
100%, guys. The mixer on Tuesday is going to be phenomenal. We expect all the leaders of industry and our political friends to be there. One of the mixers of the year for the industry.
Does weed have like a August Bush or like a David Cook, or not David Cook, what's his name from Sam Adams, like a spokesman, like a guy, like someone is
yeah, we sure yeah, do. It's Tally.
Cheech and Chong.
Tally, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, you know, the whole Half-Baked cast.
I have no idea what's going on.
Jim Brewer.
Yeah, but it is incredible, actually. Some of our speakers, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja, you know, he's got a big following. You know, this guy is one of the spokespeople.
See, how do you not get Jim Brewer on stage to talk about Funyuns for a half an hour? They'd be like, I want some sour cream and onion chips, man. Like that.
I'd love some Funyuns right now. Are you offering?
No, I know Chong's been like an activist in like trying to push laws too. Is he not around? Like, who is there? Anybody
he's been here in Detroit for a few events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I did see a picture with Ed Rosenthal, who's one of our keynote speakers, and Cheech or Chong. I can't recall which one. Just recently,
one has a lot of hair, one has little hair.
Yeah, I wasn't paying that close of attention, man. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. You know, we're excited to have them, whoever they are.
Right. Right. Cool. So cannabis-aid.com.
No, cannabis-aid.
Yeah,
cannabis-aid. Oh, dash. No, not slash, dash.
I see in my head it's the cross.
I know.
Yeah.
Dash.
Fine. Cool.
Yeah, code IT in the D, $100 off, guys. Seriously.
Nice. Devil's Night and Halloween. Sounds like a party.
I feel like maybe we should do a remote broadcast.
You and a remote broadcast. Hey,
we'd love to have you guys. Yeah.
I want to.
Dave, appreciate coming out and hanging out with us. We had a blast.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I love this.
First time we had talked about this at length, but I think it was important this time. Yeah.
Yeah, happy to do it anytime, guys. I think it's something we need to talk about, and I'm proud to do it on your show.
Agreed. Awesome. Agreed. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, we're going to wrap things up with this episode 270 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Cleveland Visitors Bureau, Lenovo, LinkedIn, and Robinhood. I'd like to thank David for spending time with us. And on behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See ya.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Duran.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.